I have written in front of my Bible, any glory to man leaves not enough glory for God. He's to get all the glory, not just a little bit of it, but he gets it all. And what a wonderful thing to know that you and I can be a part of his plan. I want to say thank you again to all those who have worked so hard during Judgment House from the very beginning, and Tim and Wendy, so many months ahead of time planning and all. But I'm going to say more about all that at close of service. But I just want to say, while we're on the internet and radio, thank you so much for what God's done and for what you've been used of God to accomplish. We're glad to have all of our visitors and guests here today. We thank you for being in the house of the Lord and all our friends on the radio and the internet audience as well. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans. I do have a few things I'm going to share with you at the close of the service. But I want to wait on that so we'll make sure we get everything on the internet radio this morning. But we're glad you're here. If you're glad you're here, say amen. Amen. Well, you're a good-looking crowd. Say amen right there. Praise God. Amen. I'm not going to do that. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. Thank God for you being here. Do pray for all our friends who are going to Israel, and we leave out on Tuesday. And reminder to all them, and I'm going to try to call everybody, remind them, be here at 12 o'clock on Tuesday. We're going to leave at 12:30. You pray for the trip. Pray for us as we've gone. And I pray that God will bless and that we'll be much blessed. I talked to Brother Ralph on yesterday, and they're excited about going. I'll share a couple of things about that as we close. I want to go ahead and share with you. If you've been coming on Wednesday night, we of course, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I was going through 1 John. And then we came to this thought in the book of John where he said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. What about that? Living as a believer in a sinful world and sinning not. Now, we do not preach and teach the eradication of the old nature. That is, that you're totally sanctified and that you don't even have an old nature anymore. Because I know that's not so by experience. I also know it's not true by the Bible. We do have an old man. And you get saved by the grace of God. And Brad mentioned it. Thank the Lord for these that have been saved already. Praying for those who will get saved tonight. But those young people and adults, they're going to experience a wonderful blessing of knowing their sins forgiven, heaven is their home, but they will experience the battle of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You and I have done that. But what about that? Well, we kind of branched off from that one thought in Wednesday nights, and it's going to be a little while before I get back. And I really didn't want to deal with Romans at all, because we're going to go through the book of Romans and all of our other services sometime shortly. But something got in my heart during the week, and I want to just share it with you this morning. And I was thinking about it, and I wasn't going to share it this morning, but even yesterday, God settled this thing, and he said, I want you to say this morning. So open your Bibles, please, and I'll share with you from this passage of Scripture. Thank God for the wonderful singing of the choir. And Angie and Jensen just now, what a blessing they are. I appreciate them and the wonderful message and song. Here's wonderful truth in this book. Paul has all the way up to chapter number 8 talked about the sinfulness of man and what Christ did for us in his redemptive work, how that scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended this. God showed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now listen to this awesome statement in chapter number 8 and verse number 1 of the book of Romans. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. When you get saved, something really, really happens. It's not embracing a group of doctrine or some sort of teaching. There's a new birth that takes place. He said, except you be born again. As no, you can't go to heaven without being born again. So something drastically happens when somebody believes the gospel. When these young people and adults trust Christ in here, something really happened to them. Something changed in them. And he said, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Watch this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that is fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, who does the Spirit of God live in? Every person who's ever got saved. Bible, I'll show that to you in a minute. But if you trust Christ, the Spirit of God comes inside of you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I'm going to elaborate on that much on Wednesday nights. But I have always, as I read through that, I have gone immediately to the resurrection, just in my mind. Because I know that everybody in here, your body is deteriorating. You may be a teenager, but you're getting older. And as you get older, the deterioration becomes more visible. And you'll see, regardless of what you do, your body deteriorates. Thank God for those who live to be 90 or 100, but they're dying. They're always dying. But I've always jumped forward to the resurrection when we get a new body, new earth. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this old fleshly nature that you have. He said, just as God saved you and gave you a new spirit, he can quicken, he can work and give victory over that. Now, notice what he said in verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, but we are to live, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness to thy spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you again for this wonderful day. And God, for these several days that you've moved in the judgment house. Our Father, I thank you for those who have given, our Father, their time and their bodies and their efforts, our Father, in this venture. Many of them are up before daylight going to work. And then they come and stay here. God, thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you, our Father, for blessing them and encouraging them. Thank you for the souls that have been saved. Thank you, our Father, for all that they've done to obey you and be blessed by you. Now, God, I pray this morning for our friends in the internet and radio audience and here in this building. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would speak to hearts. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd empower me. Lord, I want to thank you that you loved me and you died for me. And God, I confess before you this morning that there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Ghost, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. But God, would you please speak to hearts this morning? And I want to thank you now, God, for in advance for what you're going to do. I pray genuine Holy Ghost conviction to get on somebody and they'll get saved. I pray, God, that God's people be helped and encouraged. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. From these verses I've just read to you, I'm going to draw just three great big truths this morning. I preached over at Burnell the first part of the weekend revival, and I told him, I said, I've got to where I don't preach quite as long as I used to. And Brad was there singing on Tuesday night. He just laughed right out loud. But I'm honest. I want to share this with you where you get a grasp of it. It's a wonderful thing to be saying. There are three truths in this that you must get a hold of. Number one, in the passage I've just read to you, there is a sinless Savior that you'll see. There is a sinful flesh that you'll see, and there's a supernatural salvation that you'll see. I know that if you've been coming on Wednesday night, you may think I'm going to repeat myself, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you for what we share. I want to say to you in the first place, look what it says in verse number 3. For what the law could not do, the law could not do it. The commandments, all the commandments of God, not just the Ten Commandments, but the 600 and odd number of commandments in the Old Testament, they could not make people righteous before God. And the truth of the matter is, that was never God's intent. The law was not given to give life. There's a verse, I'll read in a moment. There's never been a law given that could give life. The law came to perform an autopsy on you. Now, if you go into an autopsy, that means you're in bad shape. The only thing they can tell you is that you're dead and why you're dead. And the truth of the matter is, that's what the law does. The law doesn't give life. It performs an autopsy on you. It lets you see that you're dead. But here in this passage said what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh. Look at it. Let me read it to you. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. God gave His only Son. Oh, here is the sinless Son of God. What the law couldn't do, and it was weak through the flesh. Here's the contrast. Jesus came, and the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned one time. He had a human body. He became hungry. He became thirsty. He became tired. He could cry, and real tears came out of His eyes. He experienced real pain. He could bleed. He was a human being. He was a perfect man in nature and in action. And when Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came, He was God incarnate, human in the flesh, filled with the Holy Spirit of God beyond measure, and He was our sinless Savior. He lived the 33 years without sin on the earth. But God was incarnate in human flesh. He lived that life. The Lord Jesus Christ, I mentioned to you, he was sinless in His nature. He was God, but He was sinless in His actions. And He was so amazing that in His presence, people sensed His holiness. They knew it. They sensed it. And God manifests Himself. He told Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. When you think about His holiness, He said He was the light of the world. Jesus Christ came into this world to be light, and light reveals. We talked about that. Will you take your Bible and turn over to the book of Luke chapter 5? Let me show you something. Here's Simon Peter. Simon, boy, he pops up everywhere. But here's Simon Peter in chapter number 5. There's a miraculous thing here that happens. The Lord Jesus Christ comes down and says, have you caught anything? So we know we've toiled all night, hadn't caught anything. Told them to cast the net on the other side of the ship. And when they did, it became so heavy that the nets break. They had to have help to get the folk to the fish to the shore. And I just want you to look at one verse here in this passage of Scripture. And look at verse number 8. The Bible said that they beckoned to other ships to come help them. And when they did, their nets were filled. And the ships even began to sink. They caught so many fish. Now, that's not a fish story. That's true. It's in the Bible. But look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Jesus is so holy that when the Holy Spirit of God makes you see Him, allows you to see Him like He really is, it causes us to be sinful or to recognize our sin. Peter recognized his sin in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you get around me or some other people, you may not sense that as dramatically. But when you compare yourselves among yourselves, the Bible said we're not wise. But when Jesus Christ, when we compare ourselves to Him, we see our sinfulness because He was a sinless Savior. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you look at the book of Hebrews, it tells us clearly in chapter number 1 that Jesus Christ was the glory of God. He's so holy. I mean, without Him, we don't notice it so much. But He's so sinless that if we get around Him or get close to Him, we see it. Over in chapter number 3 of the Gospel of John, where He's just previously said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In verse number 19, it says this, and this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. Now, what light is that? Verse number 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. What was that light? It was Jesus. He lived a sinless life, and His sinless life was a testimony to everybody He met. All around Him, they saw it. But now notice what it says, verse 19, and this is the condemnation that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Jesus Christ is so holy and is such a sinless Savior that when people get in His presence, it reveals their sinfulness. Over in chapter number 15, listen to the testimony of our Lord in verse number 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. When Jesus came, He said, before I came, men didn't recognize their sinfulness. They thought they were good. But when they got close to Me, and when I came, I took away their cloak. I remember when I was down in Florida, I probably have shared this with you. I was out in the yard working one day and late in the afternoon, and Regina called and said supper was ready. I ran down outside spigot. I mean, I was dirty as a hog. I ran to water, washed my hands off, dried them on my pants and went in. She had everything sitting on the table. And I walked inside that light. It was kind of dusky dark outside. And when I walked in the house that was well lit, I went right straight to my seat and I sat down at the table to get ready to eat. And Regina just sat down and looked at me. And I said, what? She said, you're filthy. And inside the light, I looked around and I was. I had washed, I turned over my hands and they looked pretty good. But I didn't wash the backside of my hand all the way up to my elbows or anything else. And I had dirt all over me. The light revealed that. And Jesus, the sinless Son of God, when you compare yourself to Him or you get in His presence, He's so sinless, it's evident that He's the sinless Savior. We don't even come within a millionth of getting close to Him. But not only did He come to in His sinless body, in His perfection, to reveal sin in us, but He came to ratify the law. What do you mean by that, Brother Bill? He came to fulfill every bit of the law. He said in this passage of Scripture, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sin, sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He came to fulfill that law. He came to keep that law. And if you look in your Bible a little further on over in the book of Galatians, here's a wonderful passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. And listen to this verse. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Jesus Christ is that seed that was promised in the Old Testament, and He came to fulfill the law, to perfectly satisfy the law. He declared that the law was righteous, it was holy, and He kept it. He lived it. But you and I can't do that. Why is that? Because look back in this book of Romans and look at verse number 3 once again. For what the law could not do, the law was perfect. The law was precious. Christ lived according to the law. He never broke one of the commandments, and He was able to live a holy life, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But we couldn't do it because we were weak in the flesh. But God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That has to do with our nature. Remember, Christ is perfect in His nature. and in his action. And he's perfect in his action because of his nature. But you and I have a sinful nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in sin. And here is that old sinful, it says sinful flesh. Can I tell you, it never, ever gets any better until you have a brand new body. You have an old nature and it's sinful. Because of our nature, our actions follow. Paul wrote about it in the book of Romans. I won't go back, and Wednesday night we've dealt with it in detail. But Paul put it this way. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, that I would do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And then he concluded this, I am a wretched man. We have a sinful nature. And those who don't know Christ today, that's the only way you can operate. Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, I know I'm not what I ought to be, and so I'm going to change. Maybe you've been addicted to drugs, alcohol, you've been engaged in sexual sins, or just your lifestyle is out of control. And you say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to change, and I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to find out all that I'm supposed to do and how I ought to live, and I'm going to live a good moral life. I hear people say all the time, well, he's not saved, she's not saved, but they are a good person. The Bible said we have wicked, sinful flesh. That's describing our old nature, not just this body, but it's our nature. And because of that, our actions follow. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, I have an old man. I have a wretched man. I have a nature contrary to God. In fact, if you read this passage of scripture I've just read to you, listen to what it says again. It says, because the carnal mind, that is the fleshly mind, and you're thinking, I'm gonna do right. I'm going to quit drugs. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be a better husband. I'll be a better father. I'm going to be a better wife. I'll be a better lady. I'm gonna be an obedient teenager. I'm gonna live right. I'm going to get me a good education. I'm going to do all those things. But listen to what it said. It said the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, that is your old nature. It is enmity with God. That means it's diametrically opposed to God. And it's in battle with God. And he said this, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know what he's saying? He's saying you have an old nature, you have an old sinful self in you that cannot keep the law. It will not keep the law unless something happens to you. And here's what Paul's saying to the church in Rome. He's writing in this passage of scripture to remind them of what happened. Not only the sinlessness of the Savior, and not only the sinfulness of our old nature, our flesh, but he's reminding them of supernatural salvation. He said this, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He goes on and he says this about us over here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness to thy spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. Here's what he's saying. There's something supernatural that can happen to you. I don't care what you do, you still got an old nature. You can clean up, wash up, go through every program you want to, but you're going to still have an old nature. You have that old nature in you. It's called sinful flesh, not only this passage, but several other passages. And that's why he said you got to be born again. Because not only do your actions have to change, but your nature's got to change. And he said the law couldn't do that. There was never a law given that could give life. In fact, he said the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. In other words, he gave the law so that you would finally come to the place where you throw your hands up and say, I can't. I'm wicked. And be honest with God like Peter and fall down and say, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He recognized in the presence of a sinless Savior that he could not live the life to go to heaven, that he was a sinner by nature. But here's the wonderful truth of the new birth. He made it possible that you could, and that all the law could be fulfilled in us, and that is that we could live the life that honored him, but that our sins could be forgiven. How is that? There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Here's the only way that you can get out from under that bondage is to get in Christ. How do you get in Christ? The Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sinfulness, and you turn from your sin and you turn to the Savior. And the supernatural birth will take place when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll come in and make you a brand new creature. You'll have a brand new nature inside of you. And the things that you used to love, you now hate. The things you used to hate, you'll now love. He makes you a creation of God. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you'll come to him in simple faith, turning from your sin and turn to Christ, he'll give you everlasting life. Oh, I love this picture of it. He said, when you do that, the Spirit of God comes in you crying, Abba, Abba, Father. Man, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he was there, and he had a perfect body. You know, he fashioned a perfect body, had him just perfectly. But he was lifeless. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that breath is like the Holy Spirit. That's what it was. The Holy Spirit breathed. And the Bible said he became a living soul. There's a birth that took place, not only a creative act, but a birth act, when he breathed into his nostrils breath of life. And when you trust Jesus Christ, he said the Holy Spirit of God comes in us crying, Abba, Father. I remember when our baby girl, Becky, who's not a baby girl anymore, was born. I was in the delivery room that day, and Regina had been through that four other times. And when the baby was born, she said almost instantaneously, what's wrong with my baby? I didn't know what was going on. And I looked, and Becky was just as blue as she could be. And the doctor said, she was fine, she's fine. I saw the nurse take the baby, and she ran over to a place over there, and two or three came to help her. In just a matter of moments, there was a cry. She took that breath, and she was good, and been good ever since. Life came into her. I thought about that passage of Scripture almost instantly as I stood there so helpless. He said, I saw you polluted in your own blood in the book of Ezekiel, and I said to you, live. And I just said that in my own spirit, live by the power of God. And Becky took a breath and cried. He said, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into you and you say, oh, Abba, Father. That's the first thing you say. Praise God. He's real. That's the new birth. That's what all the book of Romans is about. And it's about how to live that life in Christ. But you must have the life first. You got to have it. Do you have it? There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And you get in Christ by trusting Christ as your Savior. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? I have been blessed just to mill around. I didn't even get to come last night, but just to be around. I thank God for all that are so involved. But I'd love to just go through and like to be in the fellowship hall and come in the council room, be in there for a while. But I've been blessed to hear Brother Bob and Brad. And I love a part of all of the presentation, but the first time I heard was Bob, and then I've heard Brad share it. You know, Bob said, "How many of you chose not to go to hell?" And there were several, or some. And he said, "I don't blame you. Nobody wants to go to hell." And he said, "I don't blame you for going there. It's hot, it's uncomfortable, it's a bad place. But that's really nothing like the real place. Nobody really wants to go to hell." But he said, "I've never had one who said they chose not to go through heaven. Matter of fact, the first group I went through with, there was a lady that said, I think we'll have just stayed in there all night in heaven. And the wonderful thing about it is, one of these days we don't get to stay all night in heaven, but we get to stay all day. All day and all day and all day and all day forever and ever, because there's no night there. You're going to go to heaven to spend the day, an eternal day, if you know Christ. Nobody wants to go to hell. But I'm going to just tell you, it's absolutely impossible for you to go to heaven unless you're born again. And the only way to do that is for you to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior right now and ask Him to come in your heart and save you. Could I ask you a question while we are praying? Is there a man or woman, a boy or girl in here who'd say to me this morning, "Brother Billy, I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not saved. And Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know Christ." Anybody like that in the building this morning? Anybody, if you just slip your hand right up, right back down. A couple of weeks ago, I missed one. Some of the men told me, "I don't want to miss anybody." In the media audience, internet, Facebook, wherever you're watching us, radio, if you're listening, I want you to know right now is a crucial time in your life. Will you turn from your sin and receive the Savior right now? Will you do that? Oh, He's a sinless Savior. You have a sinful, fleshly nature that will not allow you to keep the law, will not allow you to go to heaven, but you can have a supernatural salvation, a supernatural birth, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you right now if you'll turn to Him, if you'll believe on Him. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your blessed Holy Ghost of God. Thank You for the Word of God, for the attention of God's people. But God, I pray more than in hearing the audible Word, I pray the Holy Ghost of God and the living Word has pierced their hearts. There's some in here, our Father, who are church members, but they've never been saved. They've never had that experience. They're still trying to clean up the flesh, and discipline the flesh, and live a good enough life to go to heaven. But God, it's sinful flesh when we're born. It's sinful flesh when we die. We're very incorruptible body, but we will be raised in incorruption. We'll have a brand new body one of these days. But God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God right now would put conviction on somebody they can't get out from under and they trust Christ. And God, for those who know Christ, I pray, Father, You'd help us to learn to live in victory. While you're right there where you are this morning, you'd say, "Brother Bill, I know Christ, but I can testify the old man's still alive. He's still battling me." I can tell you how I know. Because the old man wants his rights. He wants his riches, and he wants his recognition and his reputation. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Is your heart set on God, loving Him, serving Him, thanking Him every day for a way to provide for your family through your work and loving Him? Maybe you've been battling in certain spiritual areas. Your prayer life, your Bible reading, your faithfulness to the house of God, lustful thoughts, or different things. Nobody will see your hand but me and God. And would you allow me to pray with you this morning? You're praying for me as well, but would you raise your hand? If you're a Christian, you say, "Brother Billy, I've got an old nature. I know it's still there. I want you to pray, God, help me to know how to have victory in Christ." Would you raise your hand? across the building this morning. God bless you. So very many of you. Well, you're in good company this morning, because the Apostle Paul said, when I do good, evil's present with me, and I find then a law. He said, it's a law that is still there. But I'm glad that God hath delivered me and give us freedom from the law of sin and death. There's a freedom in Christ and victory. And I pray God teach us all how to live that way. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for the Holy Ghost of God this morning, for moving in your people, blessing us through the choir and Brother Brad and the congregation are singing. And Lord, again, for the special music. God, I pray the Word of God to find lodging in the heart of many in this building and in the media audits. And God, that you'll get all the glory. And somebody will recognize how wicked they really are and how wonderful sinless you are and what a wonderful blessing supernatural salvation really is when we are born again and all our sins are gone by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.